that man in totality, east to west, north to south, will never be able to be faithful to Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah said, you are wrong. Majority will follow you, but there will always be a minority that will be faithful to me. That Iblis could never understand. It might happen in one, in every era. Two individuals who will be obedient to Allah, that he could not accept. Thereafter, Almighty Allah now opened up to Iblis what was called power. Quran will describe it as the power of voice, the power of force, the power of wealth, the power of time. That's all the power you need. Your voice that make the whole world hear your story. And your force your ideas, your ideals upon whoever you want. Pull out iman from a person's heart, I give you that power. Armies of the world were given over to him. The wealth of the world and the time of the world. Now Iblis had whatever power he needed to do what he did. But now how did Almighty Allah put this power in the hand of Iblis Shaitan? So for this power to come, Almighty Allah in a land called Babylon, which in today's time we know as Iraq, and in previous time we would have learnt in school a city called Mesopotamia. In this land of Babylon, two angels, Harut and Marut, will come. This will be right at the beginning of creation. This is the beginning of world history. These two angels come down with some formulas. They explain certain formulas to the people of Babylon. What are these formulas? They explain it what we will call magic. What is it? Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahimullah explains that it is the names of Almighty Allah and how to use each name. Everything that happens in the world happens with the name of Allah. Where water goes up, it goes with the name of Allah. Water comes down with the name of Allah. Rain comes because Almighty Allah says rain, and rain comes. But if Almighty Allah has to give that name to a certain individual, that if you use this name in a certain manner, on a certain day, in a certain place, on certain thing, then water might start coming down where you need it. It can happen, and it is not far-fetched that one day it will happen, where technology will reach a level where finally even from clouds they will be able to produce water. If not on a wide scale, but it most likely will also happen. So there were names of Almighty Allah, and in every name there was going to be a ta'thir and asr. We will understand it, your child is crying. When the doctor finally gives up, what you do? You'll go to an alim. You will tell him, can't you read something and blow? He might write something on a paper and tell you, stick it here. First, you won't believe it. You will say, what can the paper do when the sickness is in? But when somebody else says, you know, my child also was crying out his life, I put it there and all the crying went away. Now you understood that a writing can have an effect in the entire world. But every writing at a certain time, done at a certain place, when a certain star is in line with another star, so who will know all that knowledge? But those angels taught the people around. Quran will explain when they taught the people around, they mentioned couple of things. The first thing they mentioned is, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. That we have been sent as a major exam for the entire mankind. It wasn't only for Babylon. It was for the entire mankind till the day of Qiyamah. Second sentence they said, فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. You rather remain a simple person, go to the masjid, go to your place of salah, don't get involved with this magic. Because in this magic, you will lose your iman. Fala takfur. Almighty Allah then says, but people, very few would stay back, majority wanted to always have the edge. If I can know that one thing to read, that girl who doesn't want to marry me, will fall in love with me, who won't want to learn it? فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا. Almighty Allah says they learnt words. Such words, مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. Which had the effect that a husband and wife who love each other, suddenly that word is taken at a certain time, certain place, and that name of Allah which could create love, could also be used to create hatred. And suddenly husband and wife are separated. مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. They learned from these angels. They could have learned what would have benefited the entire mankind. But they would learn what would destroy the entire akhirah. Almighty Allah says, such was the attraction of this magic, that extra power. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ. Whoever would purchase this magic would understand, مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. That for me now to be able to practice on it properly, for me to get the power to be above the rest, for me to become the best empire in the entire world, for me to rule everyone, I will have to sacrifice my year after. I will have to do certain things that I kick religion in the back. And I'll have to give my life to the shayateen because they play with this game. And that attraction would be such, Almighty Allah would say, that man would then say, like what we will say, to hell with religion, and he would fall into it. مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If only they knew, they were purchasing a terrible thing. Whatever happened, those angels went away in the land of Babylon, magic was left. With this magic, the land of Babylon would become the first empire in the entire world. That small place would now be able to gather the powers to take over whatever their eyes would set on. Because they had an edge. They would have an edge in material power, weapons, what we will call. They would have an edge in medicine. They would have an edge in knowing what the stars are meaning, what's going to happen in the future. They would know certain things which others around would not know. And because of which, whoever would fall for it. So the first king that would come up in the land of Mesopotamia, on the basis of this knowledge of Harut and Marut, which the world would know as magic, he would have his magicians. He would give himself to the shaitani powers. He would start worshipping the mighty fire. He would be taught the secrets and he would practice. And with magic, he would subjugate empires. And he started his empire. He was named as the name what we know as Namrud. King Namrud would now stand up in the land called Babylon. Namrud, we know Namrud because in this land, years later, Almighty Allah will make Ibrahim alayhi salam born in that same land. This was the beginning of magic of the entire world. So Namrud sets up. This will be like the grand, great grandson of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. He takes the name of Namrud. He establishes the mighty fire and he establishes his mighty empire. Namrud was one of those who they say ruled the entire world. Because wherever his eye would go, that was his. No one could match his power because he was playing a game. From the land of Babylon, Mesopotamia, people will start moving. Whoever will take this magic will establish new empires. The Greek Empire will be established. What we know is the Greek Empire. In the lands, normally when we were small, we learned of Alexandra the Great and the land of Macedonia. So this was Alexander the Great. He established his power because of this knowledge of magic. And then the Roman Empire will move, and they will move to what we call today Rome. And they will establish ancient Rome in those areas. This knowledge of theirs now had one problem in it. And that was that the people who knew it, how do they preserve it? Because in that time in Mesopotamia, in Babylon, there was no such thing as paper, and there was no such thing as tape recorders. So you know it, you can convey it to the next, by mind, by word, it can be taught. But what happens when generation after generation starts losing this magic? So immediately the shaitani forces would tell the people to start recording it. There was no paper, so it would be recorded on stone. It would be recorded on leaves, wherever you could record it, on caves, and you would write it. Because the formula was one, but where to use the formula, when to use the formula, how to use the formula, that would demand years and years and years of research. The shayateen were not going to let this power go, so everything was written, but everything on rocks, on stones, on caves. It would be written in the language which was prevalent in Babylon, which the world today will call the, I think, Aramaic language. And it would be written by the Greek Empire in their language, which we will call today Greek. And it would be written by the Roman Empire, which we will call today Latin. Because of this Latin, Greek, and Aramaic, these three languages for any civilization is essential. You have to learn this language. You might not understand, but when you were young, to learn or to even become someone in university, Latin was essential. Whereas Latin had nothing to do with the modern world, but it was the foundation of the modern world. Without Latin, without the Greek language, without this Aramaic, there was no way you could understand writings that was written at the beginning of civilization. So land carried on, people went out, and everyone trying to practice on a certain thing, they would go searching for that place, that time, that area, where some magic will create a boom, and you can take over the whole world, and you had your civilizations. Every civilization's target was religion. Wherever they would find people of religion, they would massacre, they would slaughter. They were filthy, they were evil, they were satanic. They would establish the fire. They would establish signs where you have one eye. Whatever we see today was done in that area. And people of deen had to suffer, but deen never ever left. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahaba then complained when they were receiving in Makkah Mukarramah what they were receiving. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, make sabr. Because Allah is going to let this deen also one day become complete. And there will be complete peace in the entire world. He says, but Allah got stages. He says, in the past there were people that they would be brought and a hole would be dug. He would be placed in, a saw would be placed on top. And they had the system of a saw cutting. You take a saw and you try and cut through it, you go past the skull. But in that era, they had made such a torture chamber that that saw most likely was based on some unique power beyond it. They would put the man under it and let the saw go. It would go throughout through the entire body. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says the body would just fall in two. And thereafter he says there would be those people who would be brought, and a comb of steel, what we might call today a sharp knife, would be taken, and the meat would be separated from the bone while the man was alive. But he would not be prepared to sacrifice his religion. But evil empires went out of their way in the love of the satanic force behind them to try somehow or the other to wipe out religion everywhere. And they carried on. So we spoke about Alexander the Great. He had his era. The Roman Empire had their era. Namrud had his era. And in Babylon, the era will continue until a king would come many years later. The mightiest king now, or the peak of the Babylon area, will be called Bukhtenasar. And Bukhtenasar is interesting for us, because now this was the peak of what magic could do. Bukhtenasar now sees dreams in his time. He is the one who goes to the land of Aqsa, and he destroys the entire building of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He takes away whatever he can from the land of Aqsa. He has every Torah that has been written completely destroyed. He hates religion. And the people of Aqsa, which we call the Bani Israel, he takes them away to his lands, Bukhtenasar. But Bukhtenasar has a dream. In the dream, he sees something that he doesn't understand. And it's a very long story, but people now who know about the world today will know that there was Daniel alayhi salam and the dreams of whatever they call it, Nabuchus or whatever. That was Bukhtenasar. And Daniel alayhi salam is called to interpret. Amongst the dreams of Bukhtenasar now, the dreams that really apply to us, one was he saw empires of the world, different empires. And he saw from on top a rock coming. And when that rock hit that statue, whichever statue he had seen, which meant different empires, the entire statue collapsed. Breaking. And when the rock hit the ground, the rock also broke into thousands and thousands of pieces. And it flew everywhere in the east, the west, the north, the south. That dream really troubled him. Daniel alayhi salam would interpret it later on for him in a manner. That first the king says, I had a terrible dream, but I can't remember what it is. So if you people, he tells the people around, can't interpret it within certain amount of days, I will kill you all. So they say to him, tell us the dream. Then we will give. He says, I can't remember the dream. But I can't sleep. Daniel alayhi salam is in prison. Almighty Allah sends wahi, tell the people around you, I know the dream. He comes to the king. The first thing is make sajda. Daniel alayhi salam says, I won't make sajda. I only make sajda to one. The people say, you don't make sajda, you'll be slaughtered. So Daniel alayhi salam says, remember, listen well. If you are going to force me to make sajda to you, it's not going to be good for you, and it's not going to be good for me. And if you're going to leave me not to make sajda, it will be good for me, it will be good for you. The way he said it, the king was taken back. He asked, what you mean? He said, if you're going to force me to make the sajda, then I'm not going to make it. So then you're going to tell your one man to kill me. So it's not going to be good for me. And on the surface of the earth, the only man who knows your dream is me. If I die, you'll never find out. So it's not going to be good for you. I don't make sajda, it's good for me, it's good for you also. The king was amazed. He said, I never heard a man like this come. Dan alayhi salam comes and his king says, what was my dream? And he narrates the dream. Things that the king now starts shaking his head. Yeah, I saw that also, I saw that. And he narrates to him empires based on kufr. It started with Namrud. Bukht-e Nasr was now on the peak. This was the mightiest empire that the world had seen, Bukht-e Nasr. Greek had their empire, Romans had their empire, but this was in the land of Babylon where the most magic was going to be. This was the peak of Satanism. He says, in that peak that you have seen now, a rock you saw coming. That rock is called the Risalat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the message of Islam. He says, a day will come when that rock will bang. And when it will fall upon the entire empire of evil, it will bring the entire thing ground to the ground. But when it brings it to the ground, another thing will happen. The rock will also come in two pieces. And that rock will now spread its sand in the entire world. Meaning religion will go everywhere. And no matter how hard you will thereafter try to grab religion, you will never manage. It will be dust that will be all over. And you can have the best vacuum cleaner to try and pick it up. You will miss here, you will miss there. You think you cleaned there, it will be there again. This will spread out. The other dream that Bukht-e Nasr had was that in the dream he saw birds flying through there. And from the birds, fire was coming out. Daniel alayhi salam would explain to him that a time will come again when an empire of kufr will be rebuilt. This was that first empire. This was the peak. After you have a peak, then you start your decline. From the time of Bukht-e Nasr, the decline was going to start. And it was going to carry on, until Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to come. And then there was going to be a burst of Islam. And thereafter, a time would come again where a new empire based on magic would be established. In this new empire, you will find birds flying through the air with fire coming out from their nostrils. And that power will be used to break religion. But even that will not succeed. In his time, there were men on the ground. We have seen those birds already. We have seen those jets, those aeroplanes. He only saw a dream where it was a sparrow, where it was an eagle, and they were firing out left, right, and center. So that was Bukht-e Nasr and his magic. Now we come back. That magic now what created Bukht-e Nasr, and it created Namrud, and it would create Alexander the Great, it would create the different people. What happened to that magic? So the people of that era would write it, it would be on stone, it would be on rock, it would be on paper, and it would be in the minds of the people. And the shayateen who were in the land of Babylon, they would remember it, and shaitans don't die like how men die. But shayateen are of different levels. So you would get some shayateen who would retain lot and others won't really understand the issue. From the many shayateen that understood, there was one that would stand out. He would be called the master, the boss. From the shayateen, he was not Iblis, he was just a man who had it in his hand. This was a thing he knew. But because this magic had to do with the names of Almighty Allah, there was something which I also don't understand. That prevents the shayateen themselves making magic. They can't come close to it. They can have man do it. But between man and the shayateen, there is also that barrier. So the shayateen would remember it, but they could not impart it. And they wouldn't remember everything, but they would remember a lot. This now, from now, what I will mention, it's not definite, it's greatly possible what I will be mentioning. But in this possibility, if we have to accept that this is how it happened, it will explain many, many things which we have never understood up till now. Magic will carry on in the world, and life would carry on. People of deen would be in some lands, evil would be in some lands, things would be carrying on, carrying on. Then the empire of Namrud will crush, years before Bukht Nasr comes because of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam will get a son, Ishaq alayhi salam, he will get a son, Ismail alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam will lay the foundations and he will make a dua. His dua will be hitting on the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That, oh Allah, bring upon that time, he was born in the era of this empire of magic. He was now making a dua for a nation that was going to come in the final times. And in my understanding, when the empire of magic would be again remade again. Ibrahim alayhi salam makes a dua for this ummah. Ibrahim alayhi salam in his era, Namrud is destroyed and it will carry on, carry on. On the other side, Ishaq alayhi salam has a child who will be known as Yaqub alayhi salam. He would be known as Israel and his children will become the Bani Israel. What we nowadays call the Jews, whereas the Jews and the Bani Israel are not the same. So the Bani Israel now, we all know the story, they become jealous with Yusuf alayhi salam, and thereafter they send Yusuf alayhi salam, they put him in a well, Yusuf alayhi salam is taken away to the lands of Egypt. Many years later, Yusuf alayhi salam becomes the king of the land of Egypt, and he will call his brothers. Now the entire family of what we know as the Bani Israel, Yaqub alayhi salam, Israel and his children, with all their family, they will all move over and they will come to Egypt. In Egypt, they will stay for many years until in Egypt, another empire based on evil is established. That will be called the empire of Fir'aun. Fir'aun will fall on the Bani Israel and that same story will start. That religion is the only barrier between us and progress. Whoever would fall into power would target religion. So the Bani Israel are now going to be targeted. In the Bani Israel now, Almighty Allah will send Nabi Musa alayhi salam. When he will come, he came now to destroy the mighty empire of Fir'aun. And Allah tabarak ta'ala brought it down. Musa alayhi salam is finished. He takes the people of Bani Israel out of Egypt. And now they are going back to the lands of Sham. And this is history, Islamic history, we all can get little bit here and there about it. When he comes back to the lands of Sham, before entering Sham, Musa alayhi salam says to the Bani Israel, Allah destroyed Fir'aun and that empire in your eyes. You saw it. In the lands of Sham, they are also evil people. But when Allah destroyed Fir'aun, Allah will help us here. But the Bani Israel are not ready. And they say, as Allah destroyed Fir'aun, Allah must destroy these people. We don't want to fight. Because of which Almighty Allah punishes the Bani Israel. And in the era of Musa alayhi salam, they get stuck between the land of Egypt and the land of Sham. They are in a nowhere land. Musa alayhi salam passes away in the land of nowhere. In my understanding, that land of nowhere will be what the world today will call Gaza. It will be around there. Whatever happens after Musa alayhi salam, Nabi Yusha alayhi salam, he will take the mission. And the younger people of the Bani Israel, he tells them, don't be like your coward fathers. Let's go into the lands of Sham. And they make the first entry. They enter into the lands of Sham. War after war will be fought to try to take back Sham. Until finally Allah Tabaruk Tala will send a man, a king called Talut. The story we all have heard about in school, David and Goliath. David was Dawood alayhi salam, but the king was Talut. King Talut is sent to the Bani Israel. They say, how can he be a king? So the Nabi of the time says to them that he will bring a sign to you all. It is called Tabut. Tabut, the world today will translate, is the Ark of the Covenant. We won't even know what this is, but the world will know it's something. In the Ark of the Covenant would be all the items which the Anbiya alayhi salam of previous eras had. One Nabi's turban, one Nabi's vest, different things, because some of these things would be jannati also. Example, the vest of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. The books will show that Jibrail alayhi salam brought this. So there would be things in that book which would have a amazing power that wherever this box is put in front, that army gets assured victory. This was the covenant of the Ark, or the Ark of the Covenant, Tabut. That Tabut is delivered in the hands of King Talut. The Bani Israel are amazed. How did you manage to get this? But he got it. Thereafter the war starts. And then that famous man who we call today Jalut, Goliath, he comes in front and he says, who will fight me? Nabi Dawood alayhi salam is a young boy. Almighty Allah inspires him, he takes up the stones. And he goes front and in three stones or two stones, whatever, one stone he throws. Almighty Allah sends it as Abraha's army was destroyed. Goliath falls to the ground. On seeing that sight of Goliath falling, the entire group known as Amalika run. Dawood alayhi salam, he's a hero. Talut takes him as his main advisor. Later on, Talut will pass away, radiyallahu anhu. Dawood alayhi salam will become king. This is Islamic history. After Dawood alayhi salam becomes king, Almighty Allah now indicates to him, you must start the building of my masjid. So he will start the building of Masjid al-Aqsa. But just when he is starting, Almighty Allah says, wait. Because you are a man of war, I would prefer if my masjid is built on the hands of a man who never had that war. So Dawood alayhi salam will not build it, Sulaiman alayhi salam will take over. Dawood alayhi salam passes away, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam is made a mighty king. He now establishes an empire which defeated every empire before him. But he never used any magic. Because now he is getting divine help, which is called mu'jiza. Dawood, Sulaiman alayhi salam is flying through the air. People of the past tried it, but they couldn't get it. He is going through the air. Sulaiman alayhi salam is hearing voices of ants also, which are delivered to him through the wind. The wind picks up the voice, it reaches his ear. The empires before tried it, but they couldn't get it. This power everyone wanted always. And they worked for it in those eras, but no one got it. In the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, now the desire comes to build the masjid. While building the masjid, Sulaiman alayhi salam hears a lot of noise being made by the jinn that are working under him. So he becomes irritated and he says, I want building in the masjid but with no noise. The jinn explain, we cannot build like this. We build with noise. Sulaiman alayhi salam becomes irritated and he says, you find a way, but I don't want noise, or I don't want this. Certain thing was happening which was irritating him. So then the jinn of that area say, that if you want someone, an architect who can do what you want, in our understanding, the only one is, and they take a certain name, of a certain jinn who they call the architect of the universe. Sulaiman alayhi salam says, whoever he is, go and find him and grab him and bring him to me. And explain to him of my ring. Because with the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam, the world of the jinn would burn if he had to point it to them. Under the ring, Sulaiman alayhi salam brought all the jinn to their legs. That mighty jinn is also brought. And he starts showing how to do building without making noise. It's a long story. But he is a master architect. And he's a master of the stars, which comes in the books that Sulaiman alayhi salam now starts asking him, what does each star mean? And when a star comes in a certain area, what does it do? And he knows the stars. He knows building. He knows the habits of animals. He knows a lot of things. But he's evil in the end. Very, very evil. But under Sulaiman alayhi salam, you have to behave. The first thing that now happens in the era of Sulaiman alayhi salam that never ever happened from the time of Adam alayhi salam is Almighty Allah lifts the barrier. A barrier between man and jinn gets lifted because Sulaiman alayhi salam is in charge. Now man and jinn walk around, look around, see each other, talk, how's it? But the jinn cannot do evil because they are under the rule of Sulaiman. In the era of Sulaiman alayhi salam, now Almighty Allah wanted something new to happen in this world of magic. And that's where our next history starts. What happened in that era is not clear at all. The reason why it's not clear is because the only people who would know it would be the Jews, the Bani Israel of that era. But they made sure that the world doesn't find out. So narrations would come, but in every narration there would be so much lies. That the ulama of the ummah would read these narrations and say, you know what, it doesn't make sense, forget it. What these narrations show, however, and something did happen, is there was a period of about 40 days where Sulaiman alayhi salam's ring was removed. Somehow or the other, this jinn manages to get it out. When it is out, Sulaiman alayhi salam finds his main advisor coming to him, whose name is Asif. Asif was a unique man of Almighty Allah. So Sulaiman alayhi salam would never mistrust him. He explains to him, the ring is gone. So this man, Asif, says that if the ring is gone, it's better that you go and search for it. And don't worry of your kingdom, because while you're searching, I will run your kingdom on your ruling. And the books narrate this. Sulaiman alayhi salam goes out. But when Sulaiman alayhi salam goes out, Asif, who takes the chair of Sulaiman alayhi salam, is no longer the same Asif. He now starts giving fatwa completely contrary to the deen of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Because of which senior members start shaking their heads. Asif starts saying things which is shocking. And then Asif says to the people that I need to teach you all some very important power. On the basis of this power, Sulaiman alayhi salam achieved whatever he achieved. He flies through the air. He has control over the lands. He has buildings being taken very high. He has the jinn going deep into the water. Quickly get your pens and your paper and start writing. At the beginning of time, when the knowledge of magic was there, there was no paper. This is the one time where this person in the form of Asif, he starts giving out the knowledge. And it's written that the people start writing. This is the first time that on written paper, formulas of magic, the knowledge of Harut and Marut are recorded. As he's giving, Sulaiman alayhi salam finds his ring. And the news is that Sulaiman alayhi salam is returning. Sulaiman alayhi salam is returning. The good people of the kingdom become extremely happy that what Asif is doing, filthy things. When Sulaiman alayhi salam returns, Asif doesn't disappear. The body of Asif just falls to the ground dead. When it falls to the ground dead, there is an understanding that this was not Asif at all. But there was a power in this Asif who was speaking, and we thought it's Asif. Meaning Asif had been killed already, and a certain jinn had possessed his body. Sitting on the throne of Sulaiman alayhi salam, the jinn had given lessons. Which jinn can it be? The narration show that Sulaiman alayhi salam searched for that jinn. The one who would teach him the stars, where's he? And he was gone. The narrations then show Sulaiman alayhi salam sends an army for that jinn. And a long story takes place. Finally, that jinn is brought back. And the narrations then describe the way Sulaiman alayhi salam has this jinn chained. And he is going to be chained now for years and years and years in a land which no one will ever know for years. The jinn is gone. When the jinn is gone, Sulaiman alayhi salam starts an investigation. That whatever was written in my absence, I want it brought back to me. So the jinn going house to house searching. Whatever they find is brought, and Sulaiman alayhi salam now is going to do something with that writing. He understands that this is nothing but filth, so he has it buried. This will be buried anyway under where Sulaiman alayhi salam was having his masjid built, which the world today will call the Temple of Solomon, what we will call Masjid-e-Aqsa. He has it buried. As the masjid is getting built, Sulaiman alayhi salam understands the time of my death is also coming. And he understands that as with magic, how much of evil can spread in the world, with his ring also so much of evil can spread. So the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam is also taken and buried under the masjid. Now the masjid will contain two treasures. And perhaps it will contain a third treasure. This I am not sure about the tabut. That where was the tabut now? Did the tabut continue or did Sulaiman alayhi salam feel, I feel this should also be? Whatever happened to the tabut, that I am still not sure about. However, these two treasures the book show. The ring, it doesn't show Sulaiman alayhi salam buried it. But we will explain later on in narrations how the ring is hidden. However, the books were buried. Narrations then show that when Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away, the jinnat started immediately provoking the people. That someone must go dig there. Dig there because under there you will find that power with which Sulaiman alayhi salam created his mighty empire. Because of which from the era of Sulaiman alayhi salam, the Bani Israel stopped calling Sulaiman alayhi salam Nabi Sulaiman. They started calling him the magician Sulaiman. Because of magic he did. When Quran came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to a Jew. So he said, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. The Jew said, look at this man. He is calling the son of Dawood, Solomon, Suleiman, a Nabi. He was no Nabi. He achieved what he achieved only with magic. So on that, Quran came down and said, Suleiman alayhi salam made no magic. Rather, it was the shayateen of his era that started teaching the people magic. That was a long story now, that history passed. Suleiman alayhi salam would pass away and his kingdom now will carry on with his son. And very shortly afterwards, another evil kingdom will set up somewhere else, waiting for him to pass away. Their kingdom will carry on, this kingdom will carry on. Again, magic will carry on in the world, but only what is remembered. Whatever has been remembered, that can carry on. Whatever is written, no one got any link to it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would come in his era. As soon as he reaches Medina Munawwara, the people of Medina Munawwara are the Jews or they are the Arabs. The Arabs will say to the Jew that amazing you are, to the Jewish leaders, that you all along told us of the coming of this Nabi. And you knew who his father is going to be, his grandfather, which progeny. You knew which land, you knew everything about him. But the day that he has now come over, you don't want to believe in him. So the Jews would give different reasons why they don't accept Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the messenger. But sometimes they would say a certain sentence and its meaning would never be understood. They would say that if we have to accept the message of this man, it will mean that we will have to abandon the knowledge of Harut and Marut. We will never be prepared to do that. But what was that knowledge of Harut and Marut? Nobody would know. What was known, however, is the Jews of Medina Munawwara were master magicians also. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ was revealed because of the magic a Jew managed to do on the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the two surahs were revealed and became the last of the entire Quran, it was to give an indication to mankind that your whole world will be an attack that evil will be making on you through magic. And these two surahs will protect you from all the magic around. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. The strength of the magic would be such that Ka'b Ahbar will accept Islam. He was also a Jew. He was in the groups, in the cliques, in the lobbies, whatever. And when you in it and then you try to come out, it becomes even harder. Many a time you tell people on the internet, you will see an invitation into the world of magic, white magic, pure magic. So a lot of our people say, let's try it. Because I know my limits, my boundaries, my this, my that. And as the man goes in, he reaches a limit where he understands that for me to take the next step now, I will have to sacrifice my iman. He's not ready for that. When he's not ready for that, he wants to pull back. But because now you already linked, now your hair is by them. Now certain parts of your body, skin is by them. Now when the man pulls back, they send a threat to the person. That you can come out if you want to, but you will be sorry now. Because we got you. Ka'b Ahbar was a man in the game. When he comes out and he accepts Islam, his words are famous. He says, every day I read a certain dua. Because if I don't read this dua, the Jews around me have such magic that they can convert me, change me into a donkey. Either he meant I will go mad like a donkey, or he meant really he would become whatever he meant he knew. He says, because of these words where I asked every day Allah to surround me with protection, they are not doing. So magic carried on in the world. Now is the time when our bayan is starting, coming to the modern age. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam now will mention, and he will count out certain things. And the counting of this certain things is now bringing us Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, every empire has come to an end. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he comes, remember what he said. Now it's me and Qiyamah. This is the finals. In the final, he says to a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, count from me. First you will experience my death. So the Sahabi starts crying. But every Sahabi knew Allah's Nabi has to one day die. He says, you will experience my death. In our counting, what we call in the calendar, what we call our Christian calendar. So this happened in around the year 630. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the second thing that will happen is, the land of Sham, Masjid al-Aqsa, you will take over. And this was like a dream, because this was the Roman Empire's now capital. They had left already, left Rome, where we know Rome. They had come down and they had taken over the entire Sham. This was the capital. They were the mighty Roman Empire. It was them and the Persians. And now he is saying, you're going to take over Sham. And in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, the entire Sham is taken over. So that will be the year 634, 638. We're still in the year 630. 630 means what they call it, after Christ or whatever they call it. Meaning after the going up of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, whatever, 600 and, like how we say today, we 2014. So now we are going back 1,500 years. The third thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, when Masjid al-Aqsa will be taken over, then people of Medina Munawwara will start going to the lands of Sham. Because Sham is Sham. It's a fertile land. It's a beautiful land. Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, we all understand what it is. It is a desert. Today the world will die to go live in Medina Munawwara, but that was not always the case. That only started happening in our era. For years and years, Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara would get life during the days of Hajj, and thereafter people had to go home. During those times, the Khalifa would stand at the port and beg people, stay 3 months more. We will pay everything for you. Don't go home. But the person will say that life has to carry on. And the land of Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara would become barren. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, after Sham is taken over, you are going to go over to Sham. Whereas Medina Munawwara is the best for you. Don't leave it. But obviously people would start going. And Medina Munawwara now became barren. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, after you will find Medina Munawwara will be barren, then the world of war will start. Malhama. The world of war started with the death of Umar radiallahu anhu. Usman radiallahu anhu was going to be assassinated. Previously we spoke about this. Then there was that Karbala, what the whole world knows about. Then there was the, before that there was the wars between Ali radiallahu anhu and Aisha radiallahu anha, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. It was wars in, wars out. And then everyone would stop the war and the war would start. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu would come, stop the war. Then Yazid would come, Karbala would happen, the war would start. Then the effort would be made and the Umayyad Khilafat would be brought to the ground. Then the Abbasi Khilafat would come up. Then there would be a Fatimi Khilafat. This is all old history. We don't even know it. But it was just war in, war out. War in, war out. These wars would continue until we come to the year about 10,000 and 1,095. So now we are in 2,000. So now we're only 1,000 years. So if it took us so long to reach here, now you know we're around the end somewhere. 1,000. During that time, something happens in the world which is known as the Crusades. This we would have all learnt in school, but it made no difference to our life. What the Crusades was supposed to be, maybe a Christian holy war. That's what it was called. Because Christians were going for the land of Aqsa, nobody else was going. But why did the Christians only that time, after so many years, start getting a dream? Hey, that's our holy land. How can we allow? The Christians had given the lands of Aqsa over to the Muslims. When Umar radiallahu anhu came, they gave it over. There was no fight. And they gave it over with one condition, and that's the amazing thing of world history. They gave it over with the condition that a Jew must never be allowed in this land. And in today's time, the entire opposite happens. That they dying to bring the Jew back in that land. Muslims had no problem with Jews living in Aqsa. But Umar radiallahu anhu accepted the condition, no Jew will be allowed in this land. And how many years now already gone? From 600 to 1,000, no one had a dream of Aqsa. 400 years, suddenly a dream starts. And it's not one dream, but it's a propagated dream. From every Christian circle, that same voice is made. That this is a holy war, whoever will take part in, all your sins will be forgiven. One is Jesus died for all sins, but if there's any more sins left, the people were told to go. And this was that first 911 lie that we have seen today. That 911, the whole building came down. War, everyone go for war. No one knows who they're fighting. No one. That lie started and the world's Christians started going for Aqsa. And the Crusades would start. The Muslims will see the Crusades coming. It would be war in, war out. And finally, Masjid al-Aqsa would be captured. When it is captured, there is massacre. But Christians got it. They will capture the land of Aqsa. In the year, the crusade started in 1095. So between 1095, 1099, that was the area where the war was taking place, they got it. In the year 1120, meaning about 30 years after, a man from France who is known as a knight. Now these knights come into the picture. A man from France who is known as a knight with eight other knights. They land up to the king who is there in the land of Aqsa. And just before they coming there, there's a lot of massacre. As people are coming to the holy lands now, they are being targeted on the grounds and killed. So obviously the Christian world is worried that we're going to the land and we're being slaughtered. At the right time, this group comes. And they say, we will give the security of the holy lands. There are only eight or nine people. How they can secure the whole land? But the king says, I give you the contract. The first thing for them is to establish a headquarters. So their headquarters, they say to the king, we want it at a certain point in this, what you call church or in this masjid. And they choose the point for the headquarters, which is exactly what is known as where Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam's asal masjid was built. The real ruins, what in their time would call the ruins of the temple of Solomon, they establish a house there. In that house, they will remain there for 10 years. In that 10 years, they start with 9 people. And they are poor people, so they'll take out a slogan which will be sent in the whole world. On the slogan, you will see a horse and 2 men riding on that horse. Whatever that meant, we don't know. But it had a very, very, very filthy meaning. But what it meant to the world is that look at these poor people. 2 people have to share 1 horse. And they are looking after the holy lands. So the Christian world starts funding. Money now comes from all over. And a law is written from the highest church far away that this group of Knight Templars, because they are so holy, must be exempted from all law. All law will increase. There is no border law for them. They can go past any border and they must never be questioned. Why that law had to come? Because they had a mission to do. What was their mission now? That 8, 9 people now will become a massive army of 30, 40, 50,000. They will become the mighty army which is in the lands of Sham. The heads of every army will be a Knight Templar. And they carry. But this group, for 10 years, they will remain in this one house. What they do in that one house, nobody would know. But history books have recorded this. That what we know in recent history, in the year 1800, when the British Empire came and they took again Aqsa, and the war took place, what we know about our modern day history. At that time, when the British went into Aqsa, the first thing, and they also went for digging purposes, that digging in Aqsa was a thing from the beginning. As soon as they went there, they found tunnels have already been made. There were tunnels going in different directions, searching for different things. One thing that they wrote is that who was doing this digging? They say the only possibility is those Templars of that zamana, meaning 800 years ago, because we found there, whatever they got, their staff and his sword and whatever they found. Those people were digging for something. What were they digging for? The world wouldn't know at that time. But they got that thing in that 10 years, and that thing was then sent away. Where it was sent to? It was sent to the land known as Europe, and most likely it was sent to France. From the entire Europe, it was going to be sent to France. That what they got there, today they write that they got there the books that were written in the era of Sulaiman alayhi salam, Solomon. But if they got those books, so we will say you got Enid Blyton, you got this book, you got that book, so what? You got books. But for them, that was a treasure which the world wouldn't know its price. They found it and it was gone. That was 1,100, still 1,000 years. The world will carry on. That books, when it reaches France now, there will be people who will work on those books. There will be jinnat who will be instigating the matter. There will be forces who will be pushing. There will be someone who will know the value of the book, who will know where the book was buried. And the only really one who will know it is either Iblis, or more according to my understanding, that jinn who was locked up in the era of Sulaiman. He would know exactly where to go and look for it. He would know what to do with it. He would know why it's so important to get it. So that books are brought. And thereafter, with the indication of the same force who showed them where the books are, work is going to take place on those formulas now. That work will start in the year 1100, and 100 years will go. In the year 1200, the Tatars will make a war on Islam. And the whole world will think this is the end for Islam. And the Tatars were also a satanic group, and they were also now being inspired with that extra power. They come onto the lands of Islam, and there is massacre, massacre, massacre. When there is no hope for Islam, Almighty Allah makes the Tatar themselves revert to Islam. And they will then establish a new Islamic empire, which is going to be known as the Ottoman Empire. And we grew up in that empire. That was an empire that was going to last from the year 1300 till the year 1900. So that's a lot of years, for about 700-800 years that Ottoman Empire is going to be. In the Ottoman Empire, now remember, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam counted out a couple of things. He counted out the conquest of Sham. He counted out Medina Munawwara becoming barren. Then he counted out those wars that will take place. Thereafter he said, then you will experience Fathul Constantinia. The conquest of Constantinople will take place. And that conquest was a big thing. Constantinople is what we call today Istanbul. That was the fort of the entire Christian world. They had their lands in Rome, they had their lands in Sham, but this was a master fort. Muslims will try for 6 or 7 occasions to get it, they won't get it. But in the era of the Ottomans now, first there will be the Ottoman Empire established, and then Sultan Fatih Muhammad will come, and his army will now start going. This is the time where the Muslim Ummah now reached the peak of its military power. Because for you to break the fort of the Christian world, it means you are the strongest. At that time, the demand was supposed to be after the conquest of Constantinople, Islam throughout the world. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, thereafter, within a narration will show 7 months, another narration will show maybe 7 years. There will be a khuruj of Dajjal. So everyone knew the narration. Constantinople was conquered. From the beginning, Sahaba radiallahu anhu would tell their children, if you ever take part in the conquest of Constantinople, don't move. Because we have heard from Allah's Nabi that as soon as you take it over, Dajjal will emerge. So you wait for it. But when Constantinople was taken over, and everyone was waiting for the emergence of Dajjal, so Dajjal is Dajjal. How you think he's going to do it, he's not going to do it that way. The meaning of Dajjal is the one who catches you. The one who deceives you. So where everyone in the world was waiting for a monster to come bouncing up and down and say, I am the mighty Dajjal, can you catch me? That was not going to happen. What did happen, however? That's the part that from there onwards, the world just moved normal. But from that moment, the world went abnormal. Whatever never had happened from the time of Adam alayhi salam started happening from that era in history. What was that khuruj of Dajjal in my understanding? Khuruj does not mean release of Dajjal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said before this, there will be the khuruj of Malhama. Malhama means the appearance of wars throughout the world. And then he said there will be the khuruj of Dajjal. Khuruj means an appearance, but a major appearance. The world was waiting to see the major appearance. They saw nothing. They saw something else. Already it was 300 years before that in France that writings had reached. 300 years of effort now is now going to start something. Meaning now finally something has been understood. When Constantinople was taken over in what we call today Turkey, something else was happening in France. In France, just at that time, Constantinople was taken over in the year 1453. Now we're only 500 years from where we are. Now even the 1000 went away. Now we're very close to Qiyam. How close you want to be? 1453, Constantinople goes. In the year 1467. So this was 1453, and in the year 1467. So you can look at about 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. In the year 1467, in the lands of Europe, the foundation is laid for a rebirth. Rebirth will mean birth of who died. But someone had once upon a time died. That power had died years ago. Now there was a rebirth. Rebirth, we would never know the word rebirth. The word world would hear the word rebirth in another language. That word would be the Renaissance. The Renaissance would start in Europe, and what would it be? That also nobody would bother. You would hear about it in your school days, and you will wonder, this history lesson is so boring. What they have to bother of the Renaissance? But the Renaissance was that the magic which was sent down by Harut and Marut, and that magic which was buried by Sulaiman alayhi salam, that magic we have finally managed to start working. And with this working on, we have laid the foundations of the return of the empires of ancient civilization. When the Renaissance started, the first thing that happened in Europe was the news spread that Kabbalah has now become a practical art. What we will call the knowledge of Harut and Marut, this word, the world will now know it as Kabbalah. Kabbalah is magic. But when you will ask them what's Kabbalah, they will say, no magic. Kabbalah is just science. Kabbalah is just to teach man what happens behind the scenes. So that if we can understand what happens behind the scenes, we can tap into those behind the scenes, and we can make the world happen as we want it to happen. When the Renaissance would start, the beginning of it would be the modern age. Or they would call it a scientific age. Or they would call it an age where we will now influence the entire world's literature. No time ever in history did the entire world be ordered to read the same book. Everyone reads books about his grandfather. But now the world was going to be told, William Shakespeare is a book for the whole world. In the Renaissance, whoever was promoted would become the bosses and the leaders of the world. Literature was going to become world. One world order of literature, of philosophy, of art, of music, of politics. And one thing the Renaissance had, that we will create humanism. Humanism means that the human being is the main thing. There is no worry of a power above. What we will call atheism. The foundation of atheism was established, but where? It was going to be established in the world of Europe, which was run by the church. Now the church, how could they ever accept that an atheist religion will take over? It was something the world could never imagine, but it happened. As the Renaissance continued, it would start in France, it would go to Spain, and then it would come to England, and it would spread in the whole Europe, until a time would come where the entire church would lose all power. That would happen. More amazing than that, the Jews and the Christians could never see eye to eye. Because the Christian says to the Jew, you kill my God. If you say to a person, you kill my father, where you go and make salam to him and say, never mind, I make you maaf. The Christian says to the Jew, you kill my God, Jesus. But the entire European church, because of the power of the Renaissance, they would take over the entire church of England. In every church would be their man. Until a time would come where a unanimous verdict of the entire world of the church, that today we have finally decided, after so many years of the, we will say, rising of Isa alayhi salam, they will say death of Isa alayhi salam, to forgive our brother Jew. And they forgave them left, right, and center. They forgave them because now the Jews were going to become the masters for who the whole Christian world would have to work. You are not going to work for a man if you hate him. So everyone said, we forgive. Jesus taught us to forgive, we forgive. And the Jews were forgiven. But it wasn't going to end there. Now that work was going to be done to recreate the empire which was that empire. The empire which was made in that era will be now reborn. So the first group to reborn, make this empire grow, was going to be the British Empire. That word empire would only go with satanic forces. Britain would start from a small land. But because they had that edge of magic, they could now produce that weapons which nobody else. In the Renaissance, the main thing of the Renaissance was that up till now, whatever knowledge we have, we were getting it from the Arabic world, Islam. Now the Arabic books must be pushed one side, and we have to study three languages. The Greek language, the Latin language, the Aramaic language. The reason is because now archaeology was going to start. And billions was going to pump in digging in the entire world. Wherever you can find an old civilization, dig, dig. Because in the diggings you will find walls. In the walls you will find drawings. And in the drawings you will find indications to new magic. Whatever was going to be written in the era of Harut and Marut, the effort was made, we will have to collect that from the entire world. And on every new collection, there will be a new burst of power. With this burst of power, Europe was now going to teach the world things the world never imagined. Europe was now going to create something called a light bulb. And where the world knew at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, it's time to sleep, it's dark. Suddenly Europe was going to say, we created light. We have illuminated the world. Where the world was going to say, if my brother is in America, I will never meet him again. Europe was going to say, we will connect the two of you by voice. We will be able to tap into the air and grab sound, as happened in the era of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. Europe was going to show the world, as buildings were made in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and the world thought only it could happen in his era, we will rebuild that. Quran says, "Kulla banna wa ghawas." In the era of Sulaiman alayhi salam, buildings were going high. The world of Europe was going to show high buildings. Wa ghawas. In the era of Sulaiman alayhi salam, people were diving into the waters. The jinn were diving, looking for things. Europe was going to teach the world how we will make you dive into the world, into the ocean. You will explore the ocean. Europe was going to take over from the skies to the earth and was going to start creating an architecture the world can never imagine. When a Sahabi radiallahu anhu said to a Jew that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the man promised in your scripture, so the Jew said, you are lying. Our savior and master is not Muhammad. The reason is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam hasn't got what our master got. So the Sahabi says, what does your master have? He says, our master's head will be in the skies and his legs will be at the bottom of the ocean. The Sahabi was shocked. He asked, what's this? He would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say that the Jews are claiming their savior, which the world will call Dajjal. He will be a huge monster from the top till the bottom. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on would explain that the Dajjal, when he will come in my ummah, he will be a normal man. He will be a normal man like me and you. He will walk like me and you. But at the same time, when the Sahabi said, the Jew said, his head will be in the skies and his legs in the bottom of the ocean, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, but they will never reach where they want to reach. Meaning that although the Dajjal will be a normal man, but he will establish a kingdom that they will be able to be in the skies and they will be able to have their feet on the ground also, on the ocean. There will be submarines and there will be jets. They will be flying and they will be moving through the seas. They will be creating buildings and buildings around. But where they want to reach, they will never manage to reach them. This is that empire. When Britain started the empire for the next 300 years, the mighty British Empire was going to start doing what Namrud had done or what Bukhtar Nasr had done, targeting religion in the entire world. They would have the magic to understand what is gold and how to take out gold. What is diamonds? What is silver? They would have the power to reach any land. You can reach South Africa and take over the whole country. You steal whatever needs to be stolen and you leave the country and the people still say, Jazakallah. That's what South Africa did. They stole everything and then they thanked the Queen for giving us our independence. They would go country to country, world to world, and Britain's empire was carrying on. But the point that I wanted to come to now is as soon as the British Empire started, in that same year where the Renaissance started, one man who the world would call Vasco da Gama, he had some other idea. He was not worried about Britain. He was also, it was all in Spain, it was all in France happening. Vasco da Gama, he leaves Britain and he's not bothered about the British Empire for the next 300 years. When the seed of the British Empire is planted, Vasco da Gama got another mission. His mission is you have to go and search for a land. The world will say that Vasco da Gama left Spain looking for any land. But he wasn't looking for any land. Otherwise, he was living in one land. He was so many lands around. He was looking for a certain land. And he would go with his maps, because this was the first time that ancient writings were being made available. Shaitani forces were now leading the groups. He goes with his map searching for what it was called the modern age, the new world. He was going looking for a new world. When he will reach what the world today calls America, he reached South America, not even North. When he will reach there, he doesn't find a land which is empty. And he jumps off and he says, hey, I found an empty land. But he finds a land that is inhabited. On his way there, he definitely passed other lands, but he was not interested. There were many lands inhabited, but the land of America was interesting to him. He reaches there, and not like how we understand, as soon as he reaches, they tell him, you found our land, thank you for finding us, and now you are the founder of America. He reaches and he goes back. And then he has to come again and he goes back. And every time they come with those people on that land, wars are taking place. He dies in the ending. He doesn't conquer America. But the land was found up, down, boats are going up and down to somehow manage to make the European reach America. As soon as America is founded, in Spain, an effort is made, like how Hitler made an effort to get the Jews out of Germany to go to Israel. In Spain, the effort is made, start persecuting the Jews and have the ships ready, they must go to America. That happened when the seed of the British Empire was planted. At that time already, they were searching for a land called America. They found the land, they reached. When they reached the land, in amazing, in the year 1600, that is about 400 years from now, those people who reached those lands were also Templars. But as they used to give George Washington, who was the big president, he was also one of the satanic group's leaders. But in their speeches they would give 400 years ago, they would say very amazing things. When they just reached a certain place where they came out of South America going to North America, they reached a certain place. The speech that the leader of the group said is, God has finally delivered us to the chosen land, to the promised land. Then another thing they mentioned is that it is in this land that we will rebuild the foundation of Atlantis. Now that also was going to never be understood. What was this Atlantis and the lost city of Atlantis? So we have to go all the way back again. Quickly we go back somewhere in the past, in the era of Namrud till the era of Bukhtanasar, when different groups went out in the world. One group was also going with magic and with a map and looking for a certain land which can create certain magic which anybody else in the world can't create. In a certain land where there are certain powers in the land, where there are certain movement of stars above the land, and they found that land. And they named that land the mighty city of Atlantis. That land disappeared. Something happened to the land that the world would never know. It disappeared. Quran makes an indication that when Zulqarnain went out in the world, Quran says he reached a place where the sun was setting. The sun sets everywhere in the world. It sets in Azadwal also, but no one will say he reached here. But one place where the sun sets, the whole world calls the West, and that is America. It is very possible that Zulkarnain reached that land. Quran mentions as soon as he reached there, it's not definite, it's possible. But Quran says when he reached the area where the sun was setting, we said, O Zulkarnain, there's a nation here who are evil, filthy. Imma an tu'adhiba, if you want, slaughter all of them. Wa imma an tattakhidha fihim husna, and if you want, take some other method. Zulkarnain said, O Allah, those that are zalim amongst them, evil in nature, I will slaughter them. And when they will come to you, they will face even a worse punishment. Those were the Satanists of the time. And then he said, as for the people who are simple, I will leave them. He destroyed an entire nation and he left the nation. When Vasco da Gama reaches this land, which they call at that time the Americas, he also found a nation. But he was looking for the land and they reached the land and they had to conquer the land. Red Indians were throughout America. But something they did in history that today you'll have to search for one red Indian in the entire America. They wiped out an entire nation. Why? Because they needed that land. And land moving through land, they would finally reach one area which would be established on a river. Quran will mention when Zulkarnain reached, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ وَجَدَهَا تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ حَمِيَةٍ. He found the sun was setting on one lake. There are many lakes in the world, but in America, one lake stood out. And that is the lake on which Washington was founded. Washington then started, but when they started the buildings of Washington, it wasn't just you build here, you build here, you build here. It was a set building, which today they will write that Washington DC has been established or constructed upon the same construction of the buildings of Atlantis. Now who would know how Atlantis was built? And they will make it in such a manner that people who look at the map of Washington DC will be able to draw a star practically between the major 5 points, which are the major centers, whatever they call this center and that center. In that area by the lake, what the world today will know as the White House and the Pentagon and all the other massive powers of the world would be built around that lake. And thereafter, they would carry on their job. Britain at that time was going around the world invading and America was building. In the 1800s now, suddenly Britain has done its job for long. Now the need is that America is ready to take over the world. For America to take over the world, again France. The first magic went to France. But France, because the king of France got news of it too early, he called for an investigation and he slaughtered all those who were called the witches of the time. So France never went ahead with it. It moved over to Spain, it moved over to England. But in the 1800s in France, an artist will call the public together. And he will say, for so many years, France and America have been friends. So let's thank America. How you thank America? You send money. Or in their world, you can send women also. They will say, we'll accept. But he says, we will make a statue. A huge statue which will be called the Statue of Liberty. And huge discussions start taking place. $250,000 in that era is going to be raised by the public of France. All the people on the ground are told, contribute, we have to thank America. Thank them for what? They never do anything up till now. Rather, it was to thank them for what they are going to still do. That what work we started in France but could never get it, America is now ready to take it. The Statue of Liberty is built in France. America takes the responsibility to build the bottom part to hold the statue. That massive statue is made. The size of the statue is huge. It resembles the size of Nabi Adam alayhi salam when he came on earth. That statue was to mean man. Adam alayhi salam and his entire progeny. On the Statue of Liberty, there was going to be a globe, fire, what the person during the Olympics will hold, and he will run around the whole country. that the fire, that fire which Namrud had and Bukht-e-Nasr had, and every Satanist would hold that fire. The Statue of Liberty in the one hand was going to stake the fire. At the bottom of the legs of the Statue of Liberty was going to be chains that were broken. And on the statue was going to be written. Remember Bukht-e-Nasr's huge statue. He had seen a statue of empires. This was an empire also. Huge. But this was no empire of evil. This was man himself. Adam. Adam will be holding the fire in front to show that I have finally accepted you as my God. You have given me illumination. In school you learned that the Renaissance took Europe out of the dark ages into the ages of light. In the world of Satanism, light is fire. Fire is illumination. From there you get the Illuminati. That globe which the Statue of Liberty holds is God. That Adam, man, has finally accepted the fire as my God. On accepting the fire as my God, I become liberty, freedom. I get freedom from who I was chained to. When man came in the world, he was chained to the obedience of Allah. When he accepted the fire as God, the chains broke. You are now free. That statue was made and sent to America. That sending to America was from now till the ending. It is your job to take the mission of our master to its end now. Wherever and whichever area, whichever place, whichever task has to be done to bring the whole world into the worship of the fire so that they can become free from the chains of the Almighty Allah, your job is to do that. Why was Washington going to be so amazing in power? America now was going to use those same formulas. But in America, when that was going to start working, it was going to create Hollywood, which the world could never create before that. Hollywood's name was from Holy Wood. Before that, the world knew of a fairy who would come with her wand. And she would say, I am fairy so and so, pretty so and so, with my magical wand. And she would make her wand like this and magical dust like that. And as she would throw it, then you will get Cinderella and her pumpkin changing into a cart. You will get anything. Hollywood was the holy wood of a fairy, a magician. That with this wood, we will make one poof. And the whole world will be watching one scene on television. And everyone will say, makes sense. It can be anything, no matter how absurd. America can say, we are looking for ISIS. You will say, ISIS is in Iraq. They'll say, doesn't matter, we'll search for them in Syria. They go into Syria and they start bombing from on top, left, right and center. And they'll still say after that, we managed to kill 12 militants. After you bomb, how you know who you killed? But the world will say, makes sense. If someone slaughters a man, ISIS came to power because they cut a man's throat. If a man's throat gets cut, the first thing that happens, try it Qurbani time. As soon as the knife moves the first time, blood comes out. But when the ISIS man cut a British man's throat, the knife went 1, 2, 3, 4, but no blood. Suddenly the click was over, and the next picture showed that there's a man lying on the ground with an entire neck cut off. Using a kitchen knife, you really need a very strong hand to take out the whole neck. But why, when the cutting was taking place, didn't they let the clip go right through? To show at least one drop of blood coming. It wasn't that the world was blind to it. As soon as the clip was shown, American specialists picked up that this clip is a fraud. And immediately they made it known. The next day on certain places on the internet, people said it's a lie. And even the British newspaper took out a small article that there appears to be some problem with the clip. The next day it was all forgotten. America, if they were so scared that ISIS had made the whole world scared by cutting a man's throat, as soon as you pick up there's a problem on the clip, you make an announcement to the world, it's a lie. Nothing to be scared about. Look at the clip, there's no blood coming out. But America was quiet. And Isis was also quiet. If Isis had not cut, you're supposed to say to the world, we never cut. They were quiet. America was quiet. Whole world saw one head on one body. And before that, they saw a knife by the throat. And they mind-planed the whole thing. In everyone who saw the clip, the mind played blood coming out. But no blood came out. There was no cutting, but the whole world was brought into a war. Only Hollywood can do that. Only an international media from 20 different sides say the same thing. And everyone say it makes sense. But if someone comes and tells you, even if they had cut someone's neck, if one man cuts someone's neck, you go searching for the man. You don't send a bomb from on top falling on hundreds of people. If one man cuts a man's neck, there's no way you can know where the man is. They say, we looked at the clip and we picked up, this is in Syria. How we saw the sand. Sand is in the whole world. But Hollywood will make the whole world say it makes sense. They know where to target that man who cut the man's throat. Because they picked it up on the clip. Yet at the same time, when they went looking for a man called Mullah Muhammad Umar years and years, and still can't find him. They don't know anything but Hollywood. America could produce that weapons, which before that with magic nobody could produce. And the mighty empire, which was seen in the past, was going to be re-established. That is the rebirth that has brought in our time. We have seen in the last 500 years, what in my understanding is called Khurujud Dajjal. A surge of Dajjali power. That surge is what we will call science, technology, spaceships, warships, bombs, whatever we see, technology, the phone, the internet, and everything will be always indicating towards one eye. America's dollar will be established, the eye upon the pyramid. And they will write there in their language, whatever language, may the master be pleased with the work on the ground. All the work and their master. This is that surge of Dajjaliyat. Such a huge surge it was going to be, that there was going to be no chance for the ummah now to ever remain straight. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would then say, when sahaba were worried of Dajjal, he said, there's nothing to be scared of Dajjal. Because if I'm around, I'll sort him out. And if I'm not around, then when Allah is someone's, Allah is everything. That Allah has made the world of Islam today stand. We are going through an era where there are raves, there are clubs, there are drugs, there is money, there is nudity, there is pornography. There is the Dajjaliyat left, right and center. But every day a new masjid will be established. But as the Dajjali power will continue, conspiracies will also continue. There will be conspiracies from the enemy who we know are the enemy. There will be conspiracies from within also. There will be a conspiracy of Qadianism. There will be conspiracies of Shiism. There will be conspiracies of every different ism that will come in a pious look to take people somehow or the other away from Islam. And these conspiracies, we learn of them because we see them on the television. We see them on the newspaper. When ISIS came to power, one reason why all our people said, don't speak bad of ISIS, is they say, finally one group has again come up where America is scared. I gave the answer, it's not finally. There have been hundreds of groups that America is scared. But finally, you have become aware of one group. How did you come aware of it? The news made it aware. You don't know what's happening on the grounds in the world. Jihad is taking place throughout. You don't know anything about it. Muslims are being massacred in many torture chambers. You know nothing about it. Where the world needs you to know, that's the only place you know. Now with the internet, you might find out much more also, but you won't even look. If someone tells you, see on this site, you say, no, that's all lies. This is the truth. What is a lie is going to be portrayed. If a Muslim group is portrayed as the mightiest Muslim group, then immediately you must say there's a problem in this group. America will never call someone, we scared of him. They'll never say we scared of him. They shiver for people, but they won't say it. When they do say it, they meaning, oh Muslims of the world, if you want to join a group, go join that group. Hey, we're very scared of that group. And everyone. Conspiracies will carry on. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, however, said that if Allah is around, Dajjal won't be able to do much. And that's what's happening. War will take place, conspiracies will take place, where deen has to be protected, somehow it will get protected. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how can that ummah fail? That I am at the beginning of the ummah. And thereafter, somewhere in the middle, Almighty Allah will bring a man called Mahdi. And then it will end with Isa alayhi salam. That years have gone already and Islam is carrying on. We are on the verge, however, in my understanding, of the now coming of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu. But verge, must remember, my story started with 1,000 years ago. So verge could mean the next 10 years, it could also mean the next 100 years. You don't have to wait for Hazrat Mahdi to come, because you are seeing the evil around you. Usama bin Laden had a dream when he was young. Couple of dreams he had about jihad, about moving on horses, many dreams he had. So his father heard these dreams and he became worried about it, so he took him to an alim of the area. The alim was very amazed with the dreams of the youngster, so first he told the father, you go out, he spoke to the boy, then he told the boy, you go out, he asked the father many questions. One question he said to the father, tell me, you're not a man of this land, I'm sure. You must have come somewhere from Sham, Syria, where you came from, what's your origin? So he mentioned, he said, which tribe? The father had difficulty, he answered finally. He asked him many questions which the father found has no relation with this boy at all. Thereafter this alim said, it's a very amazing, but in my understanding, this boy of yours has been selected, because in the dream he saw a man on a horse gave him a flag. And he rode until he put the flag in the hands of somebody else, and that person with his horseman rode into the world. He said, in my understanding, the one that gave him the flag was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he gave him the flag, which was a black flag, that you must put this in the hands of the man who's promised, meaning Al-Mahdi. Your son has been selected to somehow deliver the flag. That dream he saw. If we heard the dream long time ago, we would have said, Hazrat Mahdi is pitching up today. Otherwise, how you take the flag? But dreams don't have those meanings sometimes. Sometimes it means that your son has been selected to start the next game. When Osama bin Laden's work started in the world, what we will call 9-1-1, attacking of Afghanistan, the new war, the mighty war, the international war, whatever war, that war saw the creation of an army. Afghanistan became an army. Thereafter, the war would continue to Iraq. With conspiracy, an army was created. The war would then go over to the lands of Sham, what we saw in the last 5 years. In the lands of Sham, 25, 30 years ago, if Hazrat Mahdi had to land up, and he will say, where's my soldiers? Then you will find one Syrian woman. She's busy making samosas for Ramadan. She asks her husband, where are you going? He said, to join the army. He said, you mad or what? Take your child to school. There will be no army. That war Allah Ta'ala brought, evil forces fell on the land of Sham. Whatever intention they had, suddenly an army is created in Sham. Go into Sham today, and now you will see nothing about school, nothing about television, nothing about education. I want to become a gynae. Now you'll find a young girl. You ask her what you want as your Eid present. She'll say, I want a gun. I want a rifle. You ask her who you want to shoot. She'll say, I want to shoot a lot of people. That girl became a soldier. Hazrat Mahdi's army will be one call, and warriors from around the world will be joining. In my understanding, the people who will be at the back of the army will be Gujarati people. Because a Gujarati man, first thing they'll ask him, can you shoot? He'll say, don't know how to shoot. They'll tell him, what you're going to do in the army? He'll say, cook. I'm good at cooking. And they'll put him somewhere along the line. They might give the people of Gujarat the job. Hazrat Mahdi's war will take place, establish madaris, do ta'alim. There'll be a lot to be done. But the Gujarati people, I'm sure the warriors will tell them, you know what? We'll be worrying about your screaming in the war. You stay one side. Allah Ta'ala through war creates armies. We are at the present moment with all these bombs falling, seeing the creation of an entire world Muslim army. Evil leaders will push that armies down, ensure that they don't come up. And on every new push, a new group will spring. The Egyptian brotherhood were pushed again. The bigger the push, the more the hatred comes. Every country is now pushing its people in different ways, slaughtering their children, massacring their men. And in every push, you create a new nation who hates kufr, who hates Western civilization, who hates Europeanism. They want nothing to do with technology. They want life. And when Hazrat Mahdi will come, how close we are to Hazrat Mahdi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that when Dajjal will come to my city of Medina Munawwara, he will look at my masjid and he will say, there is the white palace of Ahmad. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid was never white from the beginning and there was never a palace. The white palace is what we see in our era. When the Saudi government came, it became a white palace. Now you enter Medina Munawwara, you see a white palace. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the search for Hazrat Mahdi will be taking place, the Abdal, the pious people will be inspired. They will capture him in Makkah Mukarrama, meaning he will be told, there's he. And he will see these people are inquiring about him, so he will rush over to Medina Munawwara. They will get the news, he's gone, they will follow him. He'll come back to Makkah Mukarrama. He'll go back to Medina, up, down, up, down, up, down. The scholars of the past would write this question, that this up, down, Makkah, Medina, Medina, Makkah, up, down will happen about 6-7 times, 5-4 times, whatever. How is it possible in a period of about 7-10 days, a man to go between Makkah to Medina, Medina, Makkah, Makkah, Medina? The scholars of the past would write that this will be the karamat of Mahdi and the Abdal, the miracle, that the world will be made small for them. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Murana Zakariya Rahimullah, he wrote under this commentary. He says, what a top answer they gave, but they had never seen our times. Had they seen our times, all you'll write is, he'll jump in a GMC. He'll jump in a train. He'll take a plane. What was mentioned in the past where man could never understand, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what will be the time where a man will be far in the business, and his thigh will be telling him what's happening at home. Now the world will think, one day my thigh will start talking. Hey, you know what your wife is up to? But that never happened. But what happens? I feel a ting ting. I take out my phone. I see SMS, bring potatoes home. Now I know what's happening. But when it happened, the world wouldn't bother. Hey, it's normal. We have been given an encyclopedia going into the future. As we see everything around us, we say, my Nabi spoke the truth. This had to happen. The Dajjal will come with fires. That fire is the wars we're seeing around. And he will say to the world, you don't believe me, enter the fire. And that's what's happening. Hundreds and thousands are dying. We would have thought a fire where you come and light a match and make one fire. No one would think that one brick will fall from a height. And as it comes, and bangs, then there's an explosion. That fire. And the Dajjal will come with gardens. And he will say to people, enter my garden. We were taught a garden with roses and berries. People don't bother about roses and berries. But if you can bring a garden where they are filthy, filthy women. And you can bring a garden where there are clubs and there are raves. A garden where there is money and your lust and desires as you want. Then the world will be told, oh, enter. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be an army who will enter the gardens of Dajjal and they will be going straight into Jahannam. Then there will be a world which will be entering the fires of Dajjal and they will be going straight into paradise. We would never see it, but we're seeing it now. We would have thought a monster would come with a garden. The monster never came, but the garden came. Because when a man wants to catch a fish, then the fisherman doesn't walk and say, I am the mighty fisherman, who will bite? A fisherman hides behind the bush and he throws in his line. Dajjal will one day come out how we want to see him, as a man. And we will say, I wish I can punch you in the face. But the only day he will come out from behind the scenes will be when the entire Christian world will have been destroyed by the army of Hazrat Mahdi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hazrat Mahdi will break the backbone, the spine of the Christian empire. After the war with Hazrat Mehdi, the Christian world till the day of Qiyamah will never establish an empire. When there are no Christian foot soldiers left on the ground, then that Jew will be told, can you fight? A Jew can't fight. He will be told, but you got the best arsenal in the world of military. You stay still, I can't fight. I'll shoot from my tank on top, my ship, my jet. But you tell me to walk into Gaza, no way. I'm not going. To get those Jews onto the ground, now their master, Dajjal, will have to come out. Now they will see him. And he will make an attack on Hazrat Mehdi. And he will make a massive attack. Because of which Hazrat Mehdi will be pushed back, pushed back, pushed back. And there will be the chance that he is going to break through. At that time, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is coming. Years ago, I read one book. Oh, I never read it. My friend read it and he narrated one sentence to me. He said, amazing, someone wrote this. That the mighty magician of the past, only that man will be able to destroy him who comes from the progeny of the man who once upon a time locked him up. So I asked him, what are you talking about? He said, in your bayan, you said it. I said, what? He said, you said Sulaiman alayhi salam locked up that Dajjal. And Isa alayhi salam is going to be the one to kill him. He said, I really think that's what they meant when they wrote the two lines. The mighty magician, only that man will be able to kill him who comes from the progeny of the one who locked him up. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, that jinn that he locked up, in my understanding, was Dajjal. And the one that Nabi Isa alayhi salam will finally slaughter will be that Dajjal. And then you can understand why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the time of Adam alayhi salam, Almighty Allah has not created as an imtihan as severe as the imtihan of the figure known as Dajjal. Because this is a test that never only happened for 5 days, but it's a test that is carrying on for over 1,000 years. It's a test that is moving through the attraction of magic. There are many who protect and there are many who fall. So in that I have explained all these issues. Regarding the flags of Khurasan, the black flags that will rise, in my understanding, don't look for any black flag. Because to make a black flag, all you need is black material and a string and a stick. When the Abbasi Khilafat broke the Umayyad Khilafat, everyone was waiting that a good group is coming out to take over. But the Abbasis were evil people. They came from Khurasan. But the manner they walked into Medina Munawara, that the leader, they gave him the title Mehdi, and the army soldiers were arranged in that manner, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the army of Hazrat Mehdi will come. And they came with the black flag. And they came with the clothing which was promised in the ahadith. So the people of Medina Munawara looked at them and were amazed that is this the promised Mehdi? But then when they started massacring people left, right and center, the ulama were shocked that they got all the signs of the promised Mehdi, but they are shaitan groups. How they came with the signs is because when you read the signs, it's very easy to come out with the signs. So if any Iraqi group takes out a black flag, he doesn't mean he's the selected group. Who will be the selected group? Any group which the ulama around will give witness and say, this is a group on the truth. If that group got a black flag, Mubarak to you. In my understanding, one of the flag holders of the black flag is Afghanistan itself. And then they will join with other armies. So you don't have to go looking for a black flag. Look for a group which is on the truth. Don't look for a group which is shown by the media to be mighty and strong. Look on the ground. The media talks one talk. Shaitan hardly speaks the truth. And when he speaks the truth, there is something behind that also. So in that, a lot of things were explained and time is almost up. Two more points I left now. Why is the war in Gaza taking place? And why is the war of Aqsa taking place? In Aqsa, one is there's a war, but they're not always trying to take over Aqsa. As though they're not bothered of Aqsa, but they are bothered. Four lands they would love to take over. One is Makkah Mukarrama, one is Medina Munawara. One is Aqsa, these three lands. And Gaza, you got nothing to do with it, but they want Gaza, and that's where they're fighting. Why they would love Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawara, and Aqsa? Because these are three lands. Years ago we gave a bayan of the tajalli of Almighty Allah that falls on these three lands. When tajalli falls, it splashes all over. As it splashes, if you got darkness everywhere and one man puts a light on, the light breaks darkness. These three lands break the backbone of magic. One is Makkah Mukarramah and the tajalli on the Kaaba. If somehow they could get into Makkah Mukarramah and where the Kaaba is, break the walls and establish there a toilet and tell the world, I want you all to come and urinate here, make stool here. Suddenly that land will not be giving that light which it was once upon a time giving, because it's filled with dirt. Madina Munawwara has the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which radiates spiritual light throughout the world. How many times in the past they tried to get that body, and they will carry on trying. Somehow or the other, get the body out of the qabr, and thereafter somehow steal the body, get that body out of there. You can leave Medina, no problem. You can leave the masjid of Medina, no problem. But the body that rests in Medina, that is the biggest problem to our mission. But those two, Rasulullah said, Almighty Allah has protected from the attacks of Shaitan and Dajjal. They will try, but they won't even bother of trying. You don't know why they're not trying, but angels are keeping them out and they understand. The third is in Aqsa. Spiritual light also falls on that area, what we call the Dome of the Rock. Years ago, when they did manage to take it over, it's amazing, written in the books of history, that Constantine, who took over in that time, many years after Isa al-Islam, his mother Helena, she made a law that where the rock is, that must be established as the center dump of the entire world. And an edict was sent out to the Christian world that that filthy pad that a woman uses for her blood, she must not throw it in the bin. It must be gathered, and they had deliveries coming from all parts of the world to have it stored there, to bring it on top of the rock so that that tajalli that falls gets broken. When light gets broken, then you can start establishing darkness. But even that they're not going for. They're not attacking Aqsa because something is keeping them out. Under Aqsa, they are still digging. They dug in that era and they found what they wanted. Today, they dig for what is known as the ring of Sulaiman. That they never found. And where their magic made them reach a limit, the ring of Sulaiman will make them go beyond that limit. In Gaza, in my understanding, they are searching for the staff of Nabi Musa a.s. Because most likely that's where it would have been buried. Everywhere else in the land where pyramids are dug and they go underground, there is just to take out new writings, new magic, new laws. In Gaza, to be able to dig, first you have to remove those people. They could have made an effort years ago by going to the people, smiling to the people. Don't want to live in America. Come, I'll send you to Britain. And then you get some people say, no, I like my land here. Then they became irritated. Said, you idiot, get out of the land. Man said, I won't get out. Then we'll fight against you. Man said, fight. He never thought what fighting would take place. Years have gone and they'll carry on fighting. Carry on fighting. Carry on fighting. If you can remove those people, you can start digging. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that area also, Almighty Allah has protected from the attacks of Dajjal. For my understanding, that's the only reason why Gaza still stands today. Otherwise, no land in the world can withstand such bombardment year after year after year. The staff of Musa alayhi salam, the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam, now we're at the end now. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, finally, before Qiyamah, one beast will come out of the earth. When the beast will come out, he will have the staff in his hand and he will have the ring in his hand. Like he will be telling all the Satanists in the world, y'all were looking in the right place, but I was also in the earth. As you dug here, I moved the ring little bit the side. You dug there, I moved it little bit the side. That's why they really dig. They don't blast under Aqsa. They really dig. If Aqsa falls, they lose everything. They dig. Slowly, slowly moving. That beast then will have a job. His job will be, he will touch believers. Not all the believers, certain believers. He will sign. When he will touch them, a light will come on their forehead. And he will hit on certain kafirs and it will become black. By hitting on those believers, that beast of the earth will be saying to Iblis that, you know what? I'm the referee now and I'm blowing the whistle. Match is over. The match started where you said to Almighty Allah, you will definitely bring one era where there will not be a single man faithful to Allah. Allah gave you the powers that the world could never imagine. Magic was handed over to you and your team. But these people are still around. Yes, he's shining, shining, shining. So now I'm going to blow the whistle. When the whistle is blown, game is over. After the game is over, now it's very close to Qiyamah. For to Qiyamah to stand, Almighty Allah will now want one thing, that all believers must now pass away. And whoever is left in the world of believers will develop some swords. As they develop the sword, they will start falling, falling. At that time, Shaitan, he won't even think now of jumping up and down and say, see, now I got it. Now there are no believers in the world. Because they'll tell him, the referee already blew the whistle. You scoring goals after the match. Meaning now game is over. Shaitan will see it and it will now come, 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 come. And finally, when there's not a single believer left in the world, then Almighty Allah will now just let the thing go sliding down. Then the whole world will be wrapped up. And when it is wrapped up, then the next world will start. Where Almighty Allah will then call us and He will tell us, watch the whole movie now. And as I had given a movie from Adam alayhi salam, but in short, your first encounter maybe in Jannah is you'll be able to see the whole movie. From the beginning till the end. Who died? Who was behind the scenes? Who was the conspiracy? Who was the traitor? Who was the munafiq? Who was true? And the whole story one day you can find out. Allah Tabarakallah grant us understanding. We will see many things still going to happen. And every error is not going to be better than the last error. Every error is going to be more severe. And in every error, there's going to be more strength of iman that will be created to withstand the attack. Almighty Allah, keep us steadfast. Don't give in to shaitani attacks. Understand you are valuable in the eyes of Almighty Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahabihi wa barik. Salim. O most Rahim Allah, most Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most kind Allah. O Allah, whatever conspiracies take place around us in the world, O Allah, you bless us with that foresight. O Allah, you bless us with that heart. O Allah, you bless us with that eye, that we can see the truth of that which is true. O Allah, we can see the lies behind all falsehood. O Allah, the traps of Shaitan and Dajjal, that man who you put your hand over, O Allah, he will never fall. O Allah, in your karam and your mercy, we ask that you put your hand over us. O Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that man who Allah looks after, Dajjal will never manage to do anything against him. O Allah, we ask that you make us amongst that Mubarak Jamaat. O Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourage the Ummah to stand in every time, mentioning that there will always be armies of Islam, that no matter what kufr will be able to create, they will never manage to break through these groups. O Allah, we ask that you make us from amongst these groups. O most Rahim Allah, most Kareem Allah. O Allah, as you have made our eyes tear with the blood and the suffering that we see around us, O Allah, create that time quickly where our eyes will start smiling, our lips will start smiling, and tears of joy will start coming from the eye as we see the flags of Islam being raised again in the entire world, as we see the armies of Islam moving with justice throughout the entire world. O Allah, as we see the filth and the evil of kufr and Satanism being destroyed in all wakes of life. O Allah, bless us with the ability that we become the means of bringing Christians into the fold of Islam, of bringing the people around us into the fold of Islam, of bringing those ignorant back onto reality, of showing the world that Shaitan is pulling them towards the fire of Jahannam. O Allah, and if we become that weak person, that we also want to walk towards the traps of Shaitan and Dajjal. O Allah, in your karam and mercy, we ask that you grab us, O Allah. As a mother grabs a child who is on the road in the fear of an oncoming car, the child wants to run across, but the mother knows it will be smashed to pieces. O Allah, as that mother grabs the child and the child screams out, O Allah, we ask that you grab us in that condition. O Allah, if we head towards our destruction, we ask that you pull us out of the way of harm. O most Rahim Allah, most Kareem Allah, in the sadaqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Oh Allah, I ask that every single one of us and our progenies and our families and our friends and those that we meet and those that we have acquaintance with and those that have asked for dua, Oh Allah, you make us all amongst that Mubarak Jamaat that will be protected from all evil. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama tuhibbu wa tarada bi'adadi ma tuhibbu wa tarada. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillah.